Guitar Will Travel, presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine, with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with William Reeves, acoustic guitarist with the band Breakfield. In our conversation, William talks about the band Breakfield and how that differs from the previous lineup, which was called Boy Named Banjo. And William talks about the new self-titled album that was produced by Sadler Vaden. William discusses growing up in Nashville, busking on Lower Broadway, and he tells us about the competitiveness of busking in Nashville. William takes us through his musical education, starting on harmonica, then moving to guitar, and William describes working on Music Row as a songwriter, and what is his songwriting strategy. Finally, William takes us through his gear, his tour schedule, and he tells us about his day job as a construction project manager. To find out more about William, you can go to his website, breakfieldband.com. That's BreakfieldBand.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Oh, and hey, if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/HaveGuitarWillTravelPodcast. Here's my friend William. Nice to meet you, William.
Very good to meet you.
What's the difference, besides the name change, what's the difference between Breakfield and Boy Named Banjo?
There's definitely, some differences in the sound. You know, we have a lot more electric guitar going on. Sure. but we're kind of going back to our roots in a way. You know, the name Boy Named Banjo hung with us for a really, really long time. And, our sound changed under that name a lot.
Sure.
So with this new record, we sound like we did when we were coming out of college and we're into the alternative country.
Yeah.
You know, before we got tangled up with the commercial country world. And so it's returning to our days where we didn't have, you know, as much A&R breathing down our neck and all that kind of stuff. So I'd like to say it's more organically us, is Breakfield.
Sure. Okay, cool. That's great. And I love that. I mean, I think I've heard, do you only have one song out, or do you have a bunch of songs out?
We have, off the new project, we have three. We have Canyon Walls, Pull Some Strings, Darker Out Tonight, and yeah, Ever Loving Not Mine. So we have four, actually.
Okay. Yep, I listened to all of them there, and it definitely sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, it sounds great. Was there a lineup change when you made the switch from the name?
So, we toured for about a year. Our original, one of the three original guys, who is our electric guitar and mandolin player, he left the band. Uh-huh. But then we had a guy named Eli Fox come in, and he was playing electric guitar, pedal steel, and fiddle.
Wow.
Right. He was being overworked. And so with this new record, we had Sadler Vaden produce.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously nobody wanted to go near an electric guitar. and Sadler laid all the electric guitar down. And then we picked up Drew Elliott, a guy who's in Nashville, fantastic player, and he's been playing with us. So we actually grew to be a six-piece now, live.
Wow.
Which has been a blast.
Okay, so you're singing and playing guitar.
Yes.
And what's the rest of the lineup look like?
So it's Barton Davies. He sings and plays banjo, but actually on the new record, he plays some electric guitar as well. So we got him set up with an electric rig. So he's electric guitar, banjo, vocal. I'm acoustic vocal, harmonica. Then we have Sam McCullough on the drums.
Okay.
And Ford Gerard on the bass and the upright bass.
Okay.
And so that's kind of our lineup.
Yeah. Is it tough moving touring with the upright bass? Or do you get it backlined?
No, I wish we had it backlined, but I'm also thankful for all the money we've probably saved not renting one. So we have a big trailer, and it takes up. It's the reason we have as big of a trailer as we have. But you know, the crowd loves the upright.
Oh, of course.
We've hauled that thing all the way to California and from Nashville and all over the country.
And did you grow up in Nashville?
I did. So four of us grew up in Nashville. They were all Point and Banjo members. Our two kind of utility guys, they're not from Nashville, but they one's from Knoxville and one's from Drew is from, I think, Michigan, I think, but he's been here a while. He's been in town.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're a lot of us are Nashville guys. Yes.
Did you all go to Vanderbilt or somewhere else?
No. So Barton Davies and I, we write all the songs, and we actually went to Suwanee.
Okay.
Which is about an hour and a half from Nashville, and then Sam McCullough and our former electric player went to UT Knoxville.
Okay.
And Ford went to UNC Chapel Hill.
Okay.
In North Carolina.
So nobody.
But we all grew up in high school playing together.
All right. And busking was a big part of you guys, like how you got worked everything out?
Early on, it was. Early on, you know, when we were a trio, we'd go down to Lower Broadway and just open up a case and start playing. Lower Broadway was a lot different back then.
How long
ago
was that?
In 2009.
Okay,
2009. That was probably 2009, 2010. You know, it was starting to become popular. I don't think you could get away with doing that anymore. Uh-huh. We'd go down there and just play. We just loved playing for people and wanted to make a little bit of money. And,
sure.
It was fun.
Yeah.
That's how we got our original name.
Uh-huh. Where'd you guys set up on Lower Broadway?
We were kind of right by Robert's Western World.
Okay, that's a good place.
on that side of the street.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's a pretty competitive, or at least it was then, a very competitive spot. So we would have to... We'd get pushed out by, like, a magician. This magician, it was kind of his turf. And, you know, we're just playing music, so we don't want to mess with anyone who can do magic, you know.
Yeah,
so we would typically scoot out of there when he popped up. So exactly, yeah.
And yes. Did you guys have to get a permit to start busking, or was it, like, the Wild West back then?
It was the Wild West. It was definitely the Wild West. We would just roll down, wrote our name on a piece of cardboard, and start playing.
Okay.
And
did you start playing guitar right out of the gate?
Actually, my first instrument was harmonica.
Oh, wow.
So down at Centennial Park in Nashville, a guy named Shannon Collins did free harmonica lessons for the youth. And my dad just decided to drive my brother and I down there, and we took father-son harmonica lessons.
Right on.
And then I found a guitar up in the attic, an old Epiphone, and started playing. And then I bought the little harmonica holder and kind of didn't look back.
Right on. And was either of your parents musical?
No, I mean, my dad loves, he loves music. That's why we had the guitar. He kind of dabbled in it, but... I just kind of found it, and my parents are very supportive.
Cool.
And that's when I met Barton in high school, and we just started playing, and then eventually we figured out, hey, let's try singing, let's try writing, and then it just snowballed into a music career.
Yeah. And what were you listening to back then?
Back in the beginning, I was listening to a lot of alternative country. There's some, like, local bands from the 90s, like Farmer Not So John.
Okay.
I love, like, Lucero out of Memphis.
Sure.
And then had a bluegrass thing that I loved. I loved the infamous String Dusters.
Sure.
And so we were listening to a lot of bluegrass and alt country.
Okay. Right on.
And still do.
Yeah. Do you ever get set up on songwriting dates by a publisher?
Yeah, so Barton and I wrote on Music Row for about 6 years.
Oh, did you really?
So we did, and it was awesome. But you know, it also takes a lot out of you creatively. Trying to fit, you know, what people want, you know, trying to be commercial, honestly, is the way to put it. And we learned a whole lot. Got to collaborate with some of our heroes, and you know, some of the songs of the record are from that time, and
oh wow,
some of the songs are when we were fresh out of the deal and just inspired to do something new.
Yeah, yeah. And what's a day like as a songwriter on Music Row?
Oh, man. So, I mean, just typically rolling at 11 a.m. And just sit in a cool room and, you know, typically ask whoever you're writing with what's going on in your life, what's going on in your life, if anyone has ideas, you know. Uh-huh. For me, you get a few years in and you've probably exhausted all your ideas, so it's really just pulling whatever comes out of the room that day. You know, just that combination of writers will just inspire something new. And
sure.
I start with music first typically. Uh-huh. And just try to let that tell me what the lyric should be.
Sure.
But it was great. Yeah, do that and then you're out of there by 4 o'clock probably.
Okay.
And you hope to leave with a song, but sometimes you leave with nothing, and just how it goes.
Yeah. And is there a pressure from whoever's paying you to to have a song every day?
Not really. I mean, typically those deals are you owe them a certain amount of songs a year.
Okay.
So they're not really, unless you're turning in less than, 15 songs a year, which, the more you write, the more songs you have and the more of a chance you have at getting a cut or,
yeah,
you know, so everyone typically works real hard. Yeah. So, they never got on us.
Was it pretty typical to write a song in a day?
Very typical. Okay. When I'm writing on my own, it takes me, it can take me 30 minutes to write a song.
Sure.
One of our early songs, like Blue Hole Bridge, I wrote that in about 45 minutes.
Wow.
But other songs, I'll sit on that idea and mess with it for months and months.
Uh-huh.
But when you're in the writing room professionally, there's definitely an effort to leave with a work tape or a demo.
Yeah. And do you guys get pitch sheets and try to write to the pitch sheet?
So I only did that about once or twice, and it was really cool. I enjoyed it. But other than that, we really wrote for our own band.
Okay.
And then occasionally would write for another artist, which I enjoyed that too. Really, anything that got me out of my own world a little bit was fun.
Yeah.
Because we spent so much time every day writing. Everyone was going, what do you guys want to write? What do you want to do? And, I don't have that much to say, for 6 years. So it was really nice to kind of creatively be able to pivot a little bit.
Yeah.
And not think about what we were trying to do.
Sure. When you say music first, are you like coming in with a riff or is it just a chord structure or how does that work?
Kind of either one, I love kind of coming up with a hooky riff. And or just some interesting chords. I mean, you can always lean on the 1-4-5 kind of a structure, but I kind of like to push the boundary and find something interesting. And usually that would be a riff. And having a banjo writer in the room is also kind of rare. Not many guys bring a banjo to a songwriting session.
Yeah.
So it was always cool to hear whatever Barton had to come up with too.
Sure. So the new album comes out on the 12th of June?
Yes.
And then
it comes out in June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you hit the road?
Then we do. So we've already played some of the shows on the tour, and we have our hometown show coming up on the 7th.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll head to Atlanta, and then we're playing in New York and Washington, D.C., some of our favorite spots.
Uh-huh.
So we're excited to get back out there.
Sure. Is there a big audience for country music or alternative country music in New York and D.C.? Well, D.C. for sure, but...
Yeah. New York's always been pretty good to us. I mean, there are definitely a lot of people there. For our shows, we've played, smaller rooms. This is probably right around the biggest room we've played. I think it's 500 cap.
Sure.
So
that's decent.
There seems to be a good fan base there for sure.
Right.
And then DC has always been one of our best markets, and we love DC and the 930 Club slash now the Atlantis is one of our favorite venues to play. It's just very well run and very cool.
Right on, right on. And do you guys travel in a van or not a bus yet, I'm guessing?
No. We had a brief stint in a bus, but we're a van band. We used to have an old white van, and then we got rid of it and upgraded to kind of a conversion van.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So we have, a TV in there and captain's chairs. And,
sure.
And honestly, we love it. I mean, when we've gotten in a bus, it's great, but it's definitely expensive. Has its downsides, too. It's expensive.
Yeah.
You have to sleep in the bunk when it's moving. We kind of like our hotel. We're Hilton guys now.
Yeah. Oh, right on.
So we enjoy, unless the routing's brutal, then a bus is definitely helpful.
Why'd you guys pick Hilton of all the chains?
Well, we did hotels.com.
Okay.
And we were popping into every hotel, you've ever heard of.
Sure,
and
sure.
It really, we just want a consistency, and we kind of found that Hilton is fairly consistent, even if you end up paying a little more here and there. But they now have Spark, which is their, I guess, lower, cheaper option, and they're clean and they're new, and you can check in on an app. So we've all had a lot of issues over the years showing up and there's no room.
Yeah,
and so we'd like to not have that happen anymore.
There's nothing worse than that. As Brakefield. Is this will be your first real tour, or had you been touring post Boy Named Banjo already?
Right, just a few shows here and there. I mean, really, Chicago a few weeks ago was our first official, ticketed public Brakefield show.
Okay,
so and our first show with Drew,
that
was ticketed, and so it's been fantastic. We've loved. Playing the new record. We're playing every song on the new record, it feels great, and it's very fresh to us.
Sure. Do you have to fill it out with some of the Boy Named Banjo songs too?
Absolutely. We told our fans when we switched the name, it's like we're not leaving behind those songs, and we don't even sound that different. It's really just for us when we made this record, it was long overdue to put branding and a name on it that we had already felt for a long time. Yeah. So we do play the older songs, to keep those older fans happy. And they're still Brakefield songs,
Yep, right on. As Boy Named Banjo, what were your touring schedules like?
Well, we toured a lot more then. We were way more full-time. Two of us have toddlers and stuff now, so we're not hitting the road quite as hard as we were.
Yeah.
But we toured very heavily. We would hop in the van and tour our way through Texas and then into all the way over to California and up to Washington and Oregon and then back through Kansas. And
sure.
We would do all that. So we route things now a little bit easier than we used to.
Are you guys your own agents or do you have an agent?
We have William Morris booking us.
Right.
We have William Morris, but right now we're self-managed.
Okay.
We made that move.
Yeah, right on.
So we the longer we've gone now, working with Rounder Records has been fantastic.
Sure.
They're a great group of people and very supportive and understand our vision.
Yeah.
But we also like to keep as much control as we can, especially creatively. And
sure.
They've been a great partner in that way. But being self-managed, it allows, there's no middleman to cloud the water, So it's been really nice making that jump, too.
So as self-managed, the William Morris will book the date, but you have to figure out where you're going to stay and all that?
That's right. So I do all the tour managing.
Oh, wow.
And Barton does all the more day-to-day management stuff. He advances shows.
Sure.
And all of that stuff. But I'm a logistics kind of a guy. I love figuring out, how far we're going to drive after the show all the stuff. So I've gotten decent at it over the years. So I just handle it all.
Are you the type of person that likes to, once the show's over, get in the van and drive to the next city, or do you stay there and then drive in the morning?
You know, very rarely do we stay where we are that night. You know, one reason being it's definitely cheaper and easier to park a van and trailer typically out of those more dense areas. But sure. We usually drive about an hour. You know, that's kind of our thing. Get an hour outside of town. But sometimes, you know, with the routing, you know, you have to really drive. And we've had times over the years where we don't even get a hotel because have to drive through the whole entire night straight to load in. But like I said, we're self-managed now. We don't let that happen anymore.
Right on. And so what's your guitar rig look like when you're live?
Yeah. So for me, playing acoustic, my goal has always been, how do I make this acoustic guitar
sound like an acoustic guitar?
Yeah. So I've gone through all sorts of solutions for that. I've used the Tone Dexter, uses...
No, tell me what the Tone Dexter is. Yeah, I don't even know about it.
Yeah, so it's made by Audio Sprockets, and basically it's a preamp, like DI, that basically you plug microphones into whatever mic you want, and you record into it, and it creates a wave map.
Okay.
That basically, when you're plugged in live, it adds your actual guitar sound to your guitar.
Oh, that's badass.
So I messed with that for a while. Then I got kind of tired of having to program it because I have a lot of guitars. So I moved to the Fishman Aura.
Okay.
And that had presets, and I liked that. I saw that on Jason Isbell's board. So I thought, if he's using it, it's good enough for me.
Yeah.
But now I've really simplified it, and I'm just using the LR Bags Anthem DIs and all my LR Bags pickups and all my guitars, and I ride it 80-85% microphone.
Okay.
And I'm running into a passive DI box, a Rupert Neve passive DI box, and honestly, that's been the best solution that I've found, is just microphone. And we're on ears, so there's no feedback issue there either.
Right on. That's great. And who's putting the pickups in your guitars? Who do you have do the work for you?
Well, I have installed two of them myself.
Okay.
Sometimes I don't want to pay to get it done, and I'll get my drill bit out and I get real worried about it, but once I did it once or twice, it wasn't bad. And then otherwise I'll take guitars to Glazer Guitars in Nashville. They're fantastic.
Of course.
And I also know that if I break my guitar, they know they can help me.
So for sure,
it takes a little pressure off. But I like to install them and mess with them. I like fixing things and tinkering with things too. Uh-huh. So
and what are these guitars that you're playing?
Yeah, so I'm a I love Dreadnought guitars. So my kind of longest standing guitar I've had is my 2010 J45.
Wow.
That one's been great to me. But my other heavily toured with guitar is my Atkin Essential D. So basically, Atkin is out of London, England.
Okay.
They do a thermal aging process.
Oh, wow.
And a very light nitro finish.
Uh-huh.
And basically create a vintage sounding guitar that is structurally sound and new.
Uh-huh.
And it models after a D18.
Yep.
So the Martin D18 is my favorite guitar. Sure.
Yeah.
Ironically, I don't own a Martin D18 because the ones I want to own
are expensive.
I'm going to have to save up. Yeah. So the Atkin has been awesome. Uh-huh. It is a great instrument. And then I do have a 1968 Epiphone Texan.
Is that the one that
which
was
is more of a
that your dad had?
No, that one is an old Bluesmaster. Maybe it's like they didn't make many. It's an early 90s. But my Texan, I've owned two Epiphone Texans from the 60s, late 60s, and I use them in the studio.
Okay,
they're great strummers.
Yeah.
And I'm also a Yamaha FG300, the late 60s, early 70s, those red labels.
Sure.
I use those. And then my final guitar that I I refuse to put a pickup in it, but I wish I could tour with it, is my I have an Alvarez Masterbuilt nylon string.
Oh, right.
That I got, and I love that thing for the studio and songwriting.
Yeah. Is that your only nylon string you have? Is that one?
It is. I used to have a Martin Triple O that I put nylon strings on, but this is my only, you know, nylon string, like classical guitar, you know, the big wide neck and, all that.
Yeah, yeah. I know that you have an electric guitar player, but do you have electric guitars as well?
I have one. You know, I'm a big acquire a bunch of things and then trade a bunch of things and trade up. Yeah. So that's kind of how I got to acting and stuff. But I do have an ES-335.
Oh, wow.
It's a 2018.
Okay.
The out of the Memphis factory. It's a beautiful guitar. Actually, we worked with Gibson and they gave that guitar to me. And
right on.
It's not being played as much as it should be. But I have it, and it is a beautiful instrument.
Sure. What do you have for an amp?
I just have a Blues Junior, but on our tour, we have a Fender Twin that we use.
Very loud.
Very loud. Yeah, usually it's, okay, can you turn it down a little? And it's like, man, it's on 1.5. but it's a great, great amp. And Drew uses... I don't know. Drew is on the cutting edge of technology and has some sort of stereo rig that he's running that sounds fantastic too. But
is it a live amp or is it?
So his is not. His is a like a pedal.
Okay.
But it's this stereo thing. It sounds great, but Eli's going through the twin with the pedal steel and everything.
Yeah. So it must be a weird stage mix with like on stage, like not the in the ear,
right,
but on stage. It must be a weird mix of sounds happening.
Definitely. You know, you're not going to hear Drew if your ears are out. Yeah. But, you know, you might hear him through the mains. Yeah. But, you know, that ear rig has been a lifesaver for us. We built that a number of years ago, and it's great. Consistency.
Sure. And probably it saves your guys' voices as well. So you're not screaming over monitors and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have an idea after the release of the record, do you have an idea of how much touring you're going to do behind it?
Not at the moment. You know, I think that there's definitely a plan to do some more stuff. Originally, the record was going to actually come out earlier, but just the way things happen, it just happened to get pushed to June, and we already had our dates. So we'll actually have the vinyl in hand starting next week.
Oh,
you know,
very
when
good.
We play these shows. So it's kind of some incentive for our fans. You know, hey, if you get a ticket to these shows, you're going to hear the record. About over a month before it comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
But beyond that, we do have some shows, and we're doing some residencies in Nashville.
Oh, cool.
And things like that. So there's more to come for sure.
Yeah. And who are your guitar guys? Like, who do you look up to?
Oh, man. I mean, I just love great guitar tone as an acoustic player. I mean, if I'm going like straight bluegrass, it's like Brian Sutton.
Yes, exactly.
Chris Eldridge. I mean... Andy Falco from the String Dusters. Those are all guys, you know, I mean, that I wish I could play like.
Yeah.
But I also love guys like Beck and and that just like make an acoustic like on a record or however. They just know what it should sound like. I love that too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
kind of all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. Is this your like full-time job? Like managing the band, being in the band, or do you have to supplement outside of the band?
Well, I mean, I've done music full time. I did music full time for over, I want to say probably seven years. And actually just this year, since we have slightly scaled our touring back, for, you know, our families, I'm actually working, a job which I'm really enjoying.
Oh, good.
I'm in construction, and it's very similar to tour managing. I'm a project manager in construction, which it's all logistics and all that, and it still allows me to play music.
Sure.
And but we got guys in the band that are still full time music, whether it be music management, music business management, studio work.
Yeah.
So you know, it's a very common thing in Nashville that, you know, I feel like a lot of people don't talk about.
Yeah. And do you have history as a working in construction?
I over the years in music, I worked so many odd jobs on the side. Yeah. So I used to work carpentry.
Okay.
And that's where a lot of my construction experience came from.
Yeah.
That, and then you get so broke that anything that breaks,
yeah,
you got to learn how to fix it. So I know how to work on boat motors, cars, HVAC units.
So wow.
So that kind of all led me to that.
Yeah, right on. And so what do you do for fun? Like with your kids and stuff, what do you do?
I'm a huge fisherman. So
oh, right on.
If I get a free day, I'm out on the water.
Where are you gonna go?
I'm a big river fisherman, so I'm going west of Nashville. There's a river called the Buffalo River, which is in a lot of our songs.
Uh-huh.
I go to the Cumberland. I fish right in downtown Nashville. Just really any Harpeth River, any rivers around here. I grew up fishing them, and it's kind of where I can go. And now my son's old enough where I can take him, and it's so much fun.
Yeah. And you're probably the one person who knows where the fishing spots are around Nashville, since you grew up in the area.
You know, there's that. And then you asked about a songwriting schedule. You know, I would write a few days a week, but I would also fish 3 or 4 days a week, sun up to sundown. You know, I didn't have kids then. I wasn't married yet, so yeah. I could have been a fishing guide, honestly.
Right on. That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, William. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you very much, James. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and best of luck with the album, and safe travels on your tours.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, nice to speak with you. See you later.
You too. I'll see you.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com, and I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys. We'll be right back.